fish on it. Anybody recognize that? No? And it has a fob for the front door. Anybody recognize that? Oh, it's Mazoya. Okay. Here you go, Maddie. I'm sure she gets that. That'd be awesome. I didn't know you drove. I thought you drove a Toyota. I don't know. Oh, it's Olga's. Awesome. Well, then I should have kept it and had some fun. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to start the second section here tonight. You've been sitting for a while. Let's stand together. We're going to read verses 9 through 16 and do a little study about the Word of God changes everything. And tomorrow, if you do have an appointment for that life scan, it will be in here. So right after the service, Brother Farmer and some guys are going to tear down this auditorium. And so if you can help us with that, that would be a great blessing. We need to remove all of these chairs out, put them in the hallway and bring about 10 folding chairs in. What did I say? 10 chairs and a few tables in and set them up, and they'll be in here in the morning to set everything up, and then they'll have dividers up and they'll be ushering people in. And so if you have an appointment, this is where it's going to be, and they're going to take care of all of that. They contacted us, and they do this all over the country. They look for nonprofit organizations to have it, and they said that they would be willing to make a donation, and I was like, oh, okay, that'd be wonderful. And I never like to say this is what we're charging, because I think this is something that God's given to us to be a ministry. But if they're gonna donate to us, then praise the Lord. And so we'll look forward to seeing some of you here perhaps tomorrow. Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy words. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read that verse as the question. I want you to read back to me the answer. Okay, in verse 9, so I'll read the question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the word of God tonight. And as we meet around it, I pray that you would bless it in our heart. God, I pray that you'd give your people understanding tonight. And I pray, whatever the burden or the care or the distraction is, I pray that we would all just lay it down and be still. That we would listen carefully to the Holy Spirit of God and allow our souls to be refreshed tonight. Thank you for Wednesday night. Thank you for this place that we could come and meet together. Thank you that we can be around fellow Christians who love Jesus Christ and who are saved by the blood of Christ. Thank you for the grace of God that you've had on us, Lord. And recently you've been so active in our ministry and seeing people saved and baptized. And now, Lord, it really is humbling. And to hear the words of the people that have had so many answers to prayer, I just thank you for that. And I pray that you continue to work and that you would use us. Help us to be your mouth and your hands and your eyes and your feet and your caring spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified. Bless these that are here tonight. I pray that you would bless their homes and their marriages. I pray that you would encourage them as parents. I pray that you'll bless their children and that you'll provide for them in a very rich way. Lord, I pray that you give them grace. They would find it sufficient that in their weakness, Lord, that they would be strong because of you. And we pray that you'd be glorified in all of it. Thank you for those working in the Awana ministry tonight. I pray that you'd minister to them and through them. And Lord, that you'd bless them for their endeavor to serve God. I pray that you bless those in the nursery, those that are endeavoring to serve you there, and be a blessing to their church family. I pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A man by the name of H.C. Trumbull was the author and pioneer, really, of the modern-day Sunday school movement. And he was known for his commitment to personal evangelism. In fact, was really outgoing in that around D.L. Moody's time. And converted at the age of 21 years old, he was working for the railroad. And it was there that Trumbull dedicated himself to making disciples. And he became really a very young author and a very young superintendent of Sunday schools. And one day he wrote in his journal, quote, "Conscience tells us that we ought to do right, but it does not tell us what is right." And he said that we are taught by God's word. And I think many times what we do is we forget that that's what the Bible is for telling us what is right and how to do it and the reason that we're supposed to do it. When the light of God's word was shown into your heart and revealed your sin, you had a choice to make. Either come to that light or reject the light of the truth. In fact, Paul said that to the church at Thessalonica. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now that truth, with the moment that you received it, when you came to it, changed your life forever. You became, according to the Bible, a child of God. And immediately God began to work in your heart. Now the work of God then continues today through the same means. That is, through his word, only as we allow it. In other words, I believe there are Christians today whose lives would look much different and whose purpose in life would be much different if they would just let God's word permeate their heart. Because God's word changes everything. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Colossians 1 and verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. When Paul was saved and he said to the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And the Lord put him on a journey. It was the words of God then and therefore and forever in his life that dictated his life. It changed Paul forever. And that's the idea that we see here in this passage of Scripture. That's the idea that you really see throughout the New Testament. In fact, 13 times in the book of Acts, you read the phrase, the word of God. And now we know what changed everything in the first century. You remember, these were those that were called Christians first at Antioch. The Bible says that by the words of the apostles and the immediate following thereof, the world was turned upside down. Was it because they had, tremendous outgoing personalities? Was it because they just happened to be in the right place at the right time? No. The Bible says specifically that they boldly spoke the word of God. And that's what makes the difference. Let me just give you a little quiz tonight, and maybe you can take it internally. Maybe you can write down the answer. Maybe you can answer these four questions. Do you love to read and to meditate on God's word? Are your personal devotions consistent and meaningful? We can be consistent and not be meaningful. At the same time, we can be meaningful and not consistent. How many know what I'm saying? Do you practically apply God's word to your life every day? Have you come to the point in your devotional time where you've decided, I'm either A, not leaving here until I get something that I know is for me, and B, I'm not leaving my house until I make sure I have a plan how to put that into my practice today? And so do I practically apply it? Fourthly, does your family discuss God's word on a regular basis? Because I know this, if you were to answer all four of those with a tremendous affirmation in yes, this is what I am, don't you think that it would truly change you? Man, if I were consistent and meaningful, if I read and meditated, like we'll talk tonight about the word of God, and I took every day for what it was, an opportunity for God's word to change me, then it truly would do what God intended it to do. And I think that's what you find here in Scripture as we continue the second section of this Psalm dedicated to God's word. I want you to notice with me three significant insights about the author. Some have said that it was David that wrote this. Others would say that it perhaps was Asaph. I think the author is really, it really is indifferent to me who wrote it. I personally think perhaps because of the words that it was David, but it really, the author is of no matter. It's no consequence who wrote it as far as the man tool, but we know that God wrote it to us. And so as we read it, then we say, okay, well, whoever it was that penned it, God used this, the experience of the word of God in this person's life to write these words. And I want you to see, first of all, in verse 9, number 1, a purposed inquisition. There's a question that begins this section. Beth is the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet, or bet is how they say it. And the question is this: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, Hezekiah was a king who led a great revival. One of his few faults that he had was his inability to prepare for the future. In other words, he was all about the revival and all about making things right now. His problem was he didn't make plans to sustain that revival. He didn't make plans to continue in the faith. He didn't make plans to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding. You know, like some people would really get excited about it and then kind of peter out. That was kind of Hezekiah's life, is because he failed to perpetuate that zeal and make future plans. And so we can make strides to surrender to the Lord in the present, but what will we do to preserve our commitment in the future? And so with this inquisition, we find, first of all, then a very weighty question: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, this question is very interesting, for how is it the next generation is going to be better than this one? Because the question is, how is a young man going to cleanse his way? What's he thinking about? Who's coming up behind him? Who's going to be the next person? What are they going to do with the word of God? What are they going to do as far as the path of righteousness? By cleansing his way, the cleansing here implies that the way is polluted. Wherewithal, notice what it says, shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, aside from original sin that we brought into the world with us, there are particular sins that we must be willing to admit to, that they are an offense to God. And we also have to remember that young people are not normally concerned with redemption. Young people are not normally concerned with recovery or even repentance. So this is being asked on behalf of, because they are not going to ask it. The author asked the question for them because he's seen the failure before. Now, follow me. If it was David, David wrote in Psalm 12 and verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. In fact, he went on to say, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart do they speak. So in the event that we're going to keep going on the way toward the will of God and continuing to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, because it's not in vain, then the question remains, when I am gone, what is the next generation going to need to make sure that their way stays cleansed? And so the weighty question is followed by a very satisfactory answer. And it's the same answer that David wrote in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. It's the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he gives the answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, young men, or really any man, young men don't cleanse their way, change their status, purify their hearts on their own. How is it that they do that? Well, according to the scripture, it's by taking heed to the word of God. Now, the word heed there is extremely crucial to the whole point, because it means to be aware of, to observe, and to keep, and to guard. Now, that means if the way is going to be changed, or better, if it's going to be cleansed, it has to be by the word of God. So he answers his own question with instruction. In order for things to change, we must acquaint ourselves with the Bible. But not just acquaint ourselves with it, but to resolve ourselves to conform to it. If my way is going to change, it will be by the standard and the word and the rule of God's word. Matthew Henry said, I think you have this in your notes, God's word will not do without our watchfulness and a constant regard both to it and to our way, that we may compare them together. The ruin of young men is either living by no rule at all, or choosing to themselves false rules. And so here we see this purpose question is to get the mind going. Okay, if someone is going to cleanse their way, if we're going to not just take care of today, but also worry about tomorrow and make plans for tomorrow, how is it that we're going to make sure that it continues for the Lord's sake? Well, by taking heed to the word of God. And my question is, are you taking heed to the word of God? Are you regarding it? Are you aware of it? Are you aware that the word of God is saying, listen, you're not supposed to be conformed to another standard. It's my standard that you're to conform to. Is the word of God the rule? The canon of scripture is what we call it. That word means the ruler. In other words, by the word of God, everything else in my life is supposed to be measured. And if that way or that rule is supposed to be changed, then it's the word of God that does the changing. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So he begins with a purpose inquisition. Secondly, we see a personal indication. And we ask the question, he gives the answer. But then the next three verses, verses 10 and 11 and 12, actually teach us something about the author himself. Notice what it says. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Boy, that's a great statement. I would love to be able to pray that every single day back to God, wouldn't you? As you pray to God, would you be able to say, with my whole heart have I sought thee? Many times I find myself saying, Lord, I love you, but I haven't loved you like I ought to. You deserve better from me. Lord, I've sought you, but I haven't sought you with my whole heart. I can't say that confidently. I find it amazing. Often one of the authors in Psalms, be it David or another, would say, try me in my own integrity. See if there's any wicked way in me. I just want to know because I've tried with my whole heart. Notice what it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And then he makes an interesting statement. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, some people believe that David, as I said, is the author. And if this is the case, then here David tells us of his experience of seeking the Lord and the return. Now, every king in succession, beginning at Saul all the way through the final king of Israel, was given a testimony of God. That is, they had the law. In fact, the law required that they took pen in hand and copied their own copy of the law so that they had it. So that it wasn't just a matter of reading it, it was a matter of me writing it and employing another sense so that I could retain it. Now, if that's the case, then David and every king after that would have this verse, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29, in their possession. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Here he testifies that he has sought the Lord, and it has not been in vain, as he prays immediately to seek the Lord for grace and strength. Notice how he says it. Now watch this. With my whole heart have I sought thee, and he doesn't stop. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, for some of us, we would think that that's somewhat dichotomous, that it doesn't really make sense, because at one point he says, I've sought you with my whole heart, and then he begs God, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Why would he do that? Well, first of all, letter A, because he understands the disloyalty of his own nature. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The Lord whom I have sought with my own heart, I know my heart, you know my heart, I'm asking you to help me. Don't let me wander. The best of men are fully aware of their propensity to wander away from God. Here he says, yes, I know what the answer is, but I also am very aware of my natural tendencies to be disloyal. Ecclesiastes 6:9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Do you actually believe that you are superior in your loyalty to Jesus Christ, or do you understand that you really need help? Because even though he said, I sought the Lord with my whole heart, he was very aware of his natural tendency to wander. Someone said, the more we have found of the pleasure there is in keeping God's commandments, the more afraid we shall be of wandering from them, and the more earnest we shall be in prayer to God for his grace to prevent such wanderings. Confessing then your weakness to God is a sure way to find strength and grace. Me being real with God and saying, Lord, I'm not going to pretend, because by the way, you can't really pretend with God. There's no mask that you can put on. There's no place that you can hide. There's no cloak of righteousness. I am what I am, not only by the grace of God, but before the God of life. And so I've got to be real with him. He gives us a personal indication that he is fully aware of his own weaknesses, but he also understands, secondly, the design of Scripture. So once he makes the statement in verse 10, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, notice what it says in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Notice that phrase, that I might not sin against thee. Again, it goes back and really kind of gives credence to what he said already in verse 10, in that I know that this is my natural desire to sin, to walk away from you, to give way to myself and not to think of you. But instead, I know the answer to that. What changes that is the word of God. The Word of God keeps me. The Word of God draws me back. The Word of God convicts me. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my own heart, the writer of Hebrews said. And so he understands the design. Let me ask you a question. Do you understand that's the design of the Word of God? It's true that Christians before God stand just as if they never sinned. But that does not mean we should be satisfied with a sin that continues to beset us. We should never be satisfied with that. We should never be satisfied. You know, sometimes you get into counseling with couples, and after a few years, they'll be like, well, she married me this way, and it's just the way that I am, or it's just the way that she is, and there's no changing her. Well, I'm sorry, but that doesn't work with God. He didn't save me to keep me the way that he found me. He saved me to change me. And the whole change process happens by the Word of God. It effectually works in me. My job is to effectually work it out. Good men are afraid of sin and are in care to prevent it. Matthew Henry continued, the most effectual way to prevent is to hide God's Word in our hearts, that we may answer every temptation as our master did, according to the Word of God. Psalm 37 and verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. And so we see he understands, listen, my nature is drawn away from God. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. He understood that. But he also realized that if he was going to not be bound by presumptuous sins, or if he was not going to be found guilty of the great sin, that he knew the key to that was the Word of God. Now, if that's true, then what have we done with the Bible? Have we truly hid it? Have we truly made it part of us? Not part of our mind, not the head knowledge that can recite verses and touch on principles, but I'm talking about if it's here, then it makes the change. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. To have God's word of promise laid up in the heart is the only security against being surprised into sin. Now, if the word of God is light, and it is, if the word of God is truth, and it is, if the word of God keeps me from sin, and it does, I want you to see even more so, even having this understanding that it's still not enough. To really accomplish, he admits here, thirdly, a desire for more grace. Now, he's already said, I've sought the Lord with my whole heart. He's already admitted, listen, if I'm going to purge my life from sin, it's only going to be because I've placed the Word of God in my heart. Look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Now, David here gives glory to God mixed with a prayer. By the way, that's good instruction for our prayer life. You should be able to give God glory and attach to that a leader of prayer. You should be able to send up the main line of praise and then attach a leader of prayer to that and say, now God, I'm going to glorify and honor you because you are all powerful, and Lord, because of that, I want you to know there's a need. There's nothing wrong with that. David says it here, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me. What is that? That's letting his request be made known unto God. Lord, I don't know enough. There's still a problem within me. There's not enough change that has taken place. I need more grace. That's what the Word of God is. It gives glory mixed with prayer to know more of the grace of God in knowing his testimonies, his statutes, his promises, which become the source of all blessedness. Because you are the source of all blessing. Blessed art thou, O Lord. I want you to teach me thy statutes. Why? So I can get some blessing. Is it not a blessing to have sin not be a problem anymore? Yeah. Wouldn't you love the Word of God to change that side of you that hasn't changed in so long? Well, that just doesn't happen because you come to church, because you have a blog or read a blog or read a devotion. No. It comes as I hide the Word of God in my heart, as I take it and I make it the central part of my very soul. We see a purposed inquisition and a personal indication. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, it's work seeking the Lord. It's work taking His word and hiding it in our heart. It's work, but it's worth it. Because what's the return? Grace. Because when I admit to the Lord that I am prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And I confess to the Lord that I need more of His word to permeate my body. Let me just say this. Don't dictate to the Spirit how much time you're going to spend in the Bible. Let the Spirit dictate to you how much time you need to spend in the Bible. Don't dictate to the Spirit. Let the Spirit dictate to you. Here's what most of us do. Okay, my schedule today is 3 chapters. Or today, I'm only going to have time for 1. But today, whatever. Instead, if you would discipline yourself to get up a little earlier, do something a little differently, and say to the Lord, Lord, you know, I've had so many other things on my mind. I want to read your word so that my mind can be not only renewed, but washed in the water of your word. I'm just going to stay here until there's nothing else on my mind but you. Well, that would change things, wouldn't it? I mean, if I wait on the Lord, I'm not only going to get strength, but if I put His words in my heart, sin's going to leave. I don't want to do that anymore because God's showing me a better way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By observing, regarding, keeping, and prompting to be conformed to it, the word of God. God says, look, I have the answer, and I'm telling you, if you want things to change, it's not a prescription from a doctor, it's the prescription from my right hand. I want you to take the word of God. I want you to assimilate it. I want you to put it where it makes the difference, and it makes the difference in your heart. Can you personally testify to the working of God's word in you? Could you personally testify tonight how God has changed your life today, and it's continually changing? Or was that a past tense? Well, this is, you know, most of the time, this is where we live. Well, back then is when I did this. Back then is when I surrendered. Back then I led someone to Christ. And back then, okay, what about today? What have you done with the Word of God today? So you're telling me between the time that you surrendered to do whatever God's will was for your life and the time today that everything that you said you would do, you fulfilled? Because if not, probably need some change. Amen. I don't mind saying my own amens. Because it's true. Now, if, like David, we decide to take the word of God and hide it, then there's going to be, thirdly, a public illustration of it. Now, have you ever met a Bible fanatic, soul-winning fanatic, someone just can't stop? It just, the conversation always steers back to the spiritual, always steers back to the Word of God, because that's what it should be. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared thy testimony. I'm sorry. Have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth? Now, can I encourage you with something? I love to hear praises. I really do. But I hope that you can praise the Lord outside of the church. I hope you can use words around unsaved people like, man, that's such a blessing. Or God did that for us. Do you know why? Because that's what happens when you put the Bible in you. It becomes a part of your vernacular. You say, well, they're lost. They don't understand it. Good. They'll ask you what it means. What's that word blessing? There's some lost people that use the word. Well, I feel blessed. Here's what I do know. Even if they're lost, given the tragedy, they may say things like, thank God, or oh my God. Now they want God in their life. Good thing you already have it. good thing the word of God is there. Notice what it says. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. David looks back with comfort because of the respect he had paid to the word of God, and he does so with a clear conscience. He looks back and says, man, I have looked at the word of God, found it necessary, found it beneficial to the profiting, and I'm not going to let its words fall to the ground. In fact, 1 Samuel 3:19, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and this is a great statement, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. What does that mean? He hit him in his heart. Whatever God said, he just scooped up and put here. He didn't want to let it go to waste. I let none of his words drop to the ground. Boy, that's going to be a great day when he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, everything that you said, I put here. Everything that you called me to do, I obeyed. Everything that you asked me of, I did. Wow. Everything you told me I should be doing or not be doing, I simply followed your word. I let none of them fall to the ground. All of God's word that is truly hidden within our hearts will be displayed in one fashion or another. Our words, our actions, our motives, our attitudes, our responses, and love will not only bear witness of the same, but will also be a blessing to others. Now, the heart that hides the word of God will publicly illustrate, letter A, the profit of it. The profit of the word of God. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. When our lives begin to change, our words begin to edify other people. You really want to help the body of Christ? Instead of being judgmental, be edifying. Instead of being critical, be caring. Instead of not loving one another, just love Jesus, and the love of God will flow through you to other people. It's a profit. When Scripture becomes a source of encouragement to you, you will be an encouragement to other people. We used to sing a song, we still do on occasion, make me a blessing. And again, it would be awesome if we said, make me a blessing. One of my three wishes, Lord, this week is to make a blessing. Now you're a blessing. No. Becoming a blessing is the decision that I make. And if I'm not a blessing, then I'm not helping anybody. Well, if I'm not being encouraged by the word of God, do you think that I could be encouraging to someone else? Not really. Here's why it would be in vain. Because we think we're encouragement when we solve people's problems and we try to saddle it with a Bible promise on the back of it, though we're not obeying the word of God ourselves. Amen. We think that that's actually going to go part of our crown, and it's not. It's in vain. Why? Because we're a hypocrite. We've decided the word of God is valuable to others, but not to us. And God says, no. The Bible says here, with my lips have I declared. In other words, my personal testimony is of what the word of God has done for me. Now, if that helps you, if that's a blessing to you, so be it. That's the design, though. Part of the design is that I would be able to take it and use it for others. When God's word is truly in our hearts, then it will be upon our tongue. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Someone said, those whose hearts are fed with the bread of life should with their lips feed many. Oh, that's a great statement. What does he say? He says, okay, I want you to see this public illustration. The prophet of God's word comes into me and then it goes out of me. But he also gives a public illustration of the pleasure of God's word. And this is huge, because I can't really say this to even of myself. And I don't, maybe you can in here, and praise the Lord if you can. Look at verse 14. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. I've rejoiced in the word of God as much as in all riches. Well, you and I both know that the Bible doesn't pay bills by itself, but the God who wrote it does. And the Bible promises me that if I'll seek first, not last, not leftover, his kingdom, then what I need will be added. That's a promise of God. But it goes along with a condition. Because I can't hide from God, I can't make that statement if I'm not living in the will of God. How in the world could I possibly gain God's favor when I'm living outside of it? Well, but I'm attaching a promise. I'm sorry. What you're doing is not in the way. Notice what it says. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, wherever you lead. This explains the joy of the Lord that is found only as we walk in the way the Lord leads us. And he only leads by his word, not outside of it. Here we hear of the great joy and the gladness that comes from living in the center of God's will. Have you experienced that? Man, I hope that you have. The Bible says, if I commit my ways unto the Lord, he'll establish my thoughts. Sometimes our thoughts are boom, 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 boom. Why? Well, because we used to be committed, but now we're not. And God says, wait a minute. I want you to rejoice in the way. It's not a burden. I want you to rejoice in my word and see what it's like to do it above all riches. Whether you get the raise or not. Whether you get the promotion or not. Whether you get that next thing or not. Whether you get that thing back or not. Is irrelevant. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Is that even possible? To have such joy and pleasure and contentment without having all the earmarks of worldly success? 2 Chronicles 26:5, I've been meditating in it for the last week, says this, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And this is a tremendous statement that I've been meditating on. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Isn't that great? He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Pleasure. Do we have pleasure in the word of God? And then I want you to see, as he gives this public illustration, really, he's giving an illustration of his resolve now. And I want you to, it's important that you read every word of Scripture. Don't just conjugate it or put it together or diagram it. Notice the vernacular here in verse 13. With my lips have I, verse 14, I have rejoiced. And the next two verses begin with I will. So this is what I have done. This is what I will do. Boy, that could preach alone. What have you done, but what will you do? Okay, now notice what it says. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect. In other words, I will respect thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, in Psalm 101, David said things like, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. I will hate them that turn aside. All of those things. He makes a statement. I think that's a little clue, perhaps, maybe not, that this is David's writing. But the fact is, at times in the Christian life, it is necessary to recommit our lives to Christ. We've used words in the past like rededicate ourselves. I want to rededicate myself, rededicate my life to Christ. Here David looks forward with holy resolution, never to cool his love and desire for the word of God. Notice what it says again. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Someone said those that have found pleasure in the ways of God are likely to proceed and persevere in them. You know why people quit reading the Bible? Because they won't resolve to continue it. Look, I'm getting ready to finish 2 Chronicles for the year. And the beginning of 2 Chronicles is awful. It is literally awful. Now, the words themselves are not awful. But everything that's there, and it's telling, you understand that the Chronicles are like the legal document of genealogy, of places, of property, all this stuff. And you're going, it's like it'd be like you opening tonight a law book and going, oh, I think I'll just start on page one. Let's just read this here. Knock off a couple chapters. It is brutal. And so at times, you've got to just keep going. You've got to say, Lord, these names belong to somebody, and for your omnipotent reason or your omniscient reason, I have no idea, but I'm going to read these names and I'm going to trust that one day perhaps I'll meet them. And they're in here for a reason, and maybe I'll try to figure out and just do some extra studying to figure out one day what they are. But right now, just help me get through it. And then you finally get through it. Okay. Sometimes that's the way your and my life is. It's just a day of genealogies. It's just a day of routine. It's just a day of things. Sometimes I go through the same routine so succinctly through the week. This morning, today's Wednesday. This morning, I was like, you know what? I'm just doing a little bit different today. I'm just going to do it a little bit different today. So I did a couple of things out of order, and I was just refreshed by it. Why? Because sometimes it's just genealogies. I just feel like I'm getting up, getting the coffee, getting this ready, getting that ready, getting this ready, getting the kids ready, getting out, getting the truck, go to work. And then I come back, and then I undo the bed, and I think, man, I just made this bed. Why am I making the bed, and I'm going to get in it anyway? You know, does that happen to anybody else in here? Days just bleed together? My goodness. Do you know what happens if that becomes your Christian life and you don't persevere? That you're just making the rounds as you come in, make a lap, and go out, and never let the Word of God change you. Oh my goodness. Do you know why it doesn't change? Because we don't say, I will. I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. I have decided I'm going to make the Word of God the pinnacle of my heart. I have decided that whatever He wants me to be, I'm resolved to be that. That's why people quit. That's why people walk away. That's why people stop doing what they said they would long ago do for God, because they won't. Instead of saying, I will, bless God. Whether I feel like it or not, I will. Because they found something. They found the delight in the Word of God when they do. The change. The pursuit of God's Word. Notice these words there, and you may want to underline or circle them. I think you have them in your notes, actually. Meditate. The word means to muse, to orally repeat to oneself. I would make it a habit to read it out loud. The word respect, to show attention and regard, to consider greatly. Like a traveler has to his road, he will make sure not to miss, but always to endeavor to it. No, man, do I look at the Word of God like I do a roadmap and I need to get to my destination. Someone said, we do not meditate on God's precepts to good purpose unless we have respect to them as our rule. If God in His Word told you there was something wrong in your life tonight and you recognized it, would you change it tonight? Would you be willing just to say, God, I'm done. I'm leaving it right there at the altar. If the Word of God, if you came to me and say, you know, I'm struggling with this, and I took you to a Bible verse as to what you should or shouldn't do, would you be willing to change it? That's the whole point of the sword of the Lord. Is it discerns and shows my disloyal nature. Oh God, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Look at the word delight. Delight means to be blinded by. What does that mean? Remember when Jesus said, if that I be single, thy whole body will be full of light? That's it. If I make the Word of God my single hope, I'll be blinded by it. In other words, there's nothing else that's going to distract me. My son has got this spacer bar in his mouth, and every night we have to put this little plastic tool with a little aluminum shaft on the end of it, and we stick it in a hole, and we have to basically rotate that thing back, and it takes it and it spreads apart his palate. And I'm getting older, and years ago I didn't have to have glasses. Now I have glasses, and I still have to have other glasses sometimes to see closer things. And I was too lazy to go get my other glasses, and so I had on these glasses. And I used to make fun of my dad because he'd always work on something and had to go like this. Because he has to read out the bottom. So I sat down and I couldn't see the little hole. And it's little. It's really little. It's probably not as little as it used to be. But it's little. And I couldn't get it in there. So I got this new flashlight a few months ago, and it's a humdinger. I mean, it's only that big around, but you put it on, it's like, 4 billion lumens. So I said, okay, I'm going to use this flashlight because I can't see the whole thing. And so I need to see this. Well, I didn't tell him because I didn't think I needed to. Don't look at the light. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, miss. Okay, I think I got it. And I did it. And I'm done. And he's sitting there the whole time going. He gets done and he's like, Dad, there's a big dot in the middle of my eyeballs and I can't see anything. shouldn't have looked at the light. I thought I was the only one that knew that. Apparently, he didn't know that he wasn't supposed to look at a light this far away from his eyeball. That's the idea. He stared at it so long, it took over his vision. It blinded him. That's the whole point. Have I looked into the perfect lie of liberty so much that that's all that I see? I'm blinded by it. It's taken over my sight. If thine eye be single, as narrow as that binding is, then the whole body will be full of life. If I just make it the point, why? Because I want to change. I don't want to be like I was. I want to be better than I was. Blindness, to be blinded. When the law is written in the heart, duty becomes a delight. When it becomes that dot that doesn't go away so easily. By the way, every day you should look back into the light. Every day. Because you know, you can look up, I can look at these lights and they'll be there for a little bit, then they'll fade away. Same thing is true with this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Then there's the word not forget. Look what he ends it up with. I will not forget thy word. Could I challenge you tonight, church, for the next 3 days, don't forget it. Don't forget God's word. Don't forget where you put it. Don't forget what it said. Don't forget the challenge of it. Settle it. The words not forget means to cease to care. Remember when you cared about it so much that you, remember when you and your spouse first had little kids and they started getting older and you're like, okay, now we're going to have devotions every single night. And we're going to pray. We're going to set a good example of what Christians should look like when our kids get in the way. Wait a minute. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Remember when you used to take pride in preparing your kids for their journey? And if we're not careful, we've ceased to care for our very own. Now it's not only our journey that's in jeopardy, but theirs. To cease to care, those that meditate in God's word and delight in it are in no danger of forgetting it. They all go together. Meditate, respect, delight, and forget. When we allow the word of God into our hearts, it accomplishes all of God's will in us, then through us. Look at your final verse here in Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. When you pick up God's word tomorrow, I want you to see it as something that God sent you. What did he send it to? What did he send it for? To change you. To keep you from wandering. To keep you in the way. To keep you cleansed. To let you rejoice. To make sure that sin has its place not in you, but out of you. All of that, God says, will be accomplished because I've sent it to you. Now our responsibility is to keep it. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Bible tonight. Again, we thank you for Psalm 119. Lord, the Aleph section was wonderful, but this Bet section is equally as wonderful. Because you've given us an indication of what it did to the heart of David, or at least the writer. And Lord, I pray that it would do that in us. Lord, I cannot attest to everybody in here. But as I said to you today, thank you for letting me study your word. Thank you for giving me the word of God. Lord, the Bible tells us your people have understanding of all things. When we ask and seek it, we find it. Thank you for that understanding. Now, Lord, I pray for these that are here today. I pray that in the next several days, your word would accomplish something. God, you've not given it to us just to peruse like the classifieds or be entertained like the comics. But rather, you have given us this word to accomplish change. And I pray that it would be allowed to take root downward and bear fruit upward. I pray that you'd help us to rededicate ourselves to the Word of God tonight. I pray that our way would be cleansed because we've taken heed to the things that we've heard. And I pray that you'd be glorified. I pray that you would be blessed by what you see in us. Teach us, Lord, thy statutes and thy precepts that we may keep them to the end. With head bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight as Miss Ashley plays, would you just take a minute and would you just...